Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up on the programme, emigrants want to vote in the next presidential election in Ireland. We'll hear why. Donegal boy Donagh Dunleavy will tell us how he met his idols through Una's Dreams ticket on RTE. There was an earthquake in Donegal midweek, believe it or not. We'll have the details. And there's live music from the fantastic In Their Thousands. All this plus your calls, comments and requests to 086 77 00 555, or by calling a worse for wear Yvonne this morning on 074 91 25000. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet me directly at Greg Hughes 2. Okay, hopefully we can enjoy your company between now and noon. It is normally a time where we have a look at the news of the week and what's in the papers, but it's the last show of the year, so we're going to do something a little bit different today. And what we are joined in studio by, or who we're joined in studio by, are three members of the Donegal Youth Council, who's going to reflect on some of the stories that caught their eyes through the course of 2014. So we're joined by Michael White of Carn Donagh Community School. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning to you, Greg.
And also Niall Hannigan, Clas Ja Alia Letter Kenny. Good morning to you, Niall.
Good morning, Greg.
And Maeve McDade of Loretto Milford. You're very welcome into the studio as well.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in on your Saturday. I know how valuable Saturdays are to students, but you're off for Christmas now anyway, are you?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yesterday. Right, so before you come on, we sort of asked you to, you know, see what you wanted to talk about. And Maeve, we're going to start with you. And it's still rumbling on, believe it or not. You're probably going to have another day off in January. And this is the junior cert and the review of it and the changes to the junior cycle. What's your take on it, Maeve?
Yeah, well, I would strongly believe in keeping the junior cert as we have it right now. I think it's kind of an outrage nearly that we as young people are missing days of school, missing our education, because they want to change it. It's very silly, I think.
Is it not the case, though, that, you know, the junior cert needed some sort of a change, and teachers have been asked to do their bit to mark some of the papers? That's really what this is all about. They don't want to mark their own students' papers. Do you sympathise with them, or...?
Well, I would actually agree on getting, or still having, people that you don't know correcting it, say now. At the original time now, they send it down to someone else throughout the country who doesn't know you. They only know you as your exam number. And I think that there's very much better, because you're not going to be getting favouritised. Some students aren't going to be, if you're more liked, you're not going to get marked higher. Or if you're scraping the B or an A, you're not going to get pumped up to it just because your name. Or you're not going to get scraped down because the teacher maybe doesn't have a like towards you.
Is it not more of a problem then if we can't trust teachers, not your teachers, teachers in general, to be impartial, to sort of not have favourites or not have people that they like? I mean, that's more worrying to me if it's a case that we'd have to get them marked elsewhere, because that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to say that all teachers will be doing it, but I think you're never going to be sure if it's going to happen or not. And yeah, I think you're always just safer to know that it's, even for yourself, you're not going to be thinking, oh, well, if the teacher doesn't like you, oh, well, this teacher doesn't like me and she's going to be correcting my English or math exam, and it's not going to be looking
good. So it removes any doubt. You know, you're not saying it's happened, maybe there's no evidence of it, but it removes doubt. Niall, what's your take on it?
I feel that, you know, at this stage, there's a lot of stress. It all comes down to one day for one exam, and you've been building it up, you know, for 3 years. And, you know, if you mess it up, that's it. All your work is gone. But I agree with the continuous assessment that, you know, projects and bits and pieces during the year will all kind of add up to your total percentage. But I agree with Maeve that I don't think the teachers should be correcting it as well, that if they could send away the assessments, that it would be far better and more fair.
Is it not ridiculous, though, at your age? What age are you when you sit the junior cert? Is it 15, 16?
15, 16.
You know, I mean, who knows what you're going to be doing when you're 22, 23, 24? It's ridiculous there's so much pressure on it at all, is it? What do you think, Michael?
Well, I think, yeah, the exams put a lot of pressure on young people, and that's why continual assessment is a very good choice.
Right.
But I think that they're just going about it the wrong way. For example, a lot of the continual assessment is going to be made up of projects, and you know that can be a bit dangerous as well, because you can get outside parties doing projects. You know, in paying, you know, sure, in England, they had university students being paid to do projects.
So you can work around it. In other words,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
what the final project that you have, it may not be all your own work, so it could be counterproductive.
Exactly. Yeah.
But all three of you, the teachers, have all of your support anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yous are all going to get marked very well if they do change it anyway. But and do you talk to your peers at school? Is that the general consensus that, you know, yous back the teachers on this one?
Yeah, I'm doing my junior cert now, and we would always kind of think about if we were doing the continuous assessments now, or if the teachers were correcting us. We always kind of try and think about that there and how we wouldn't like it. Everyone's, most people in the school would be against it.
Right, we'll come back to you on something else, Maeve. I'm going to turn to you now, Michael. One of the things that caught your attention through the course of the year, it was an astonishing viral event, really, in the end, and that's the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yeah, the Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS, or motor neurone disease. This kind of caught my eye because it's kind of rare that something really catches not just Ireland, but the whole world for such a good cause, you know. And it's raised over $100 million. I'm not sure what the figure is.
It was well in excess of a million here.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, it was around the time where people were criticizing it, you know. But it's a fantastic charity and it's a very worthy cause, and it raised over $1 million. And I'm saying, I was thinking to myself, are we still going to criticize this?
Just exactly.
Get
yeah.
on, get involved, or get out.
I thought the only thing that could be criticized about it was the message was kind of being lost along the way, you know. People would just put it up as, you know, a stupid thing to do instead of, you know, donating money or promoting the actual charities themselves. But it's raised, you know, millions upon millions for a disease that wouldn't have gotten much kind of treatment because of it's so, you know, it's so small.
Specific,
yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. And you know... You've got other causes, worldwide causes, you know, like obviously there's hunger and then there's cancer. So
exactly.
How do you, you know, draw attention to this charity? As you say, it's not, you know, as widespread as the others. Did yous all do an Ice Bucket Challenge?
Yeah.
Did yous all donate?
I donated.
The silence over here is... But that's what a lot of people were critical of, and that's what I couldn't understand, because it doesn't matter if you did it and didn't donate, but it was still spreading it to other people that did, you know. And I think younger people too were getting an unfair criticism for not donating, but it doesn't matter. Why do we always have to look for the negative in things? Do you find that an awful lot when you're listening to the news or reading newspapers or listening to the radio, that maybe things are too negative? Or
definitely, like, you know, you're watching TV and the news comes on and it's just... It's all, there's always something bad happening at the start of it, you know. It might pick up during it, but there's always some negative thing or something's going on that people aren't happy about, and it kind of brings the mood of everyone down, you know, when they're looking at the TV and at their when they're just coming home from work, and that's what's going on. So you know, it doesn't kind of boost morale. So
but you know, obviously there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world, obviously, so it's just telling what's happening.
There was an on-news web, I think it was last month, there was an on-news online news website. It wasn't in this country, but it was in another country, and they decided, because of criticism, to just do positive news for one day, and their hits were like about 25% of when they have all the depressing, miserable stuff on. So sad news, bad news sells, it seems, particularly for papers in the front pages. The Ice Bucket Challenge, the fail videos were quite amusing too,
yeah,
I
exactly,
suppose.
Yeah.
That's another thing
that's
that came out of it.
That's another internet phenomenon that kind of happened with that.
But that's what happens.
Exactly, you know.
But you're saying it was a positive thing. There's no space for criticism in this, and it raised a ton of money, as you say, for a cause that...
Yeah, that deserves the money, you know.
Gets neglected.
Exactly.
Niall, from Kalascha Alia, you want to talk a bit about sport and the Donegal team. What's your thoughts on the Donegal team, which is now obviously Jim McGuinness-less?
I feel that the Donegal team, both the minors and the seniors, did remarkable this year. That you know, after 2013, the Donegal team, the senior team, was kind of writ off, you know, that they wouldn't be able to come back. But
this was after the defeat to Mayo, wasn't it, really, where it was like, okay, the The glory days are behind us. We had our bit of a fluke run.
Yeah.
And then?
But they retained their Ulster title and they won it back. And, you know, even that was a big boost as well. But then to go on and beat Dublin, you know, Dublin were boosted up so much that they were just going to walk through everyone for the next 5 years. This was the team for the next 5 years, and pulled off an impressive 7-point victory over them that wasn't, like, expected at all. And I feel that that kind of boosted the whole kind of county, that, like, if you believe, then you'll be able to win out what you want. But, like, as well with the role models, like, these guys aren't paid at all, and they're going out and they're working just like everyone else, and then the evening they're going out and training for their county. And I think it's remarkable that sometimes we have role models in other sports that are getting paid and just don't have to work at all, just doing what they love. But these guys just do it for the love of the county, like, and they're brilliant. Like, so.
Do you think that part of the problem with the final was that maybe the Dublin game ended up being our final?
I think so, yeah, but I don't know that that they believed that they were going to win. I just felt that they might have thought, well, we have, you know, we put through such a big victory in the semi-final that they'd be able to carry it on to the final, but just wasn't to be, like.
Michael, your thoughts on it?
Well, no, I thought they played extremely well in the semi-final against Dublin, and, you know, of course it shocked everyone, you know, even myself.
It was so fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just, you know, one of those things that the excitement, you wonder, could you ever... Go on, I know why Michael's
not. No, you're fine. I remember.
That's what I do here. I do.
I remember at the start of the game, one of the commentators saying that Donegal would be in a good place if they were 3 points down at a half time, and was it they were one point up at half time? And I just thought that was absolutely brilliant, you know, just kind of such a lift for the county as well. You know,
we were written off by Dublin media because, you know, even on the 2FM show, they were previewing it, and I was driving home and I was like, oh, you know, I was gripping the steering wheel like a madman because they were saying, well, Donegal have nothing to lose. Yeah. It was absolutely ridiculous. You know, all of us up here in the county, we had everything to lose, and the team had everything to lose. It was just a ridiculous, which I hope drove the team on to some extent. Maeve, did you get caught up in it yourself?
Yeah, I play Gaelic myself, and I thought it was a very sad kind of year. We're seeing Jim McGuinness was going, and they didn't get the one. But I think still, as Niall was saying, even not even the players, but just Jim McGuinness alone, it's such like an inspiration for young people. And even the players like Murphy and all. And then I play for Termin myself. So even after them coming out winning the All-Ireland, and players like Geraldine McLaughlin and all, and like getting young people, like inspiring them and being such good role models for the sport.
I think particularly for players, I don't know as much for fans, you can tell me, it's often the club All-Ireland means more than the county All-One. And mainly because it's you're with your friends, the people you went to school with, it's your family, it's more intimate, you know.
Definitely. The Termin one really hit home for us and everyone we won anyway, for the whole club. Everyone was really just ecstatic. It was just brilliant.
Did that inspire you maybe to kick on and say...
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's kind of motivated all the young people, both like the girls and the boys, like, oh, well, we're the wee club that won the All-Ireland and we can do it again and we're going to do it again, that there kind of way.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say now. I was going to say something really intelligent and clever, but I can't remember, so we'll move on. So that's the sporting highlight for all of y'all. Is it how Donegal did this year, and particularly for you, Termin, of course. So we are going to take a break now, then we're going to come back. We're in studio with Michael White, Carndonagh Community School, Niall Hannigan, Clastia Alia, Letterkenny, and also Maeve McDade from Loretto Milford. Actually, what I was going to say before I take this break is that, you know, before Jim McGuinness brought this success to Donegal, yous would have heard about 92 this, 92 that. And in fairness, when yous were sort of, you know, becoming of an age where you were following it maybe, you know, Donegal weren't doing that well, you know, to some extent. So Jim took over and he's changed everything around. It's nice for yous to have your 92 now as well, the next generation, isn't it?
Exactly.
No, definitely. Like, I think, you know, like Jim McGuinness's 4 years were like, people were criticising it so much in the first year, you know, and we kind of overachieved in the first year by getting to the semi-final, and then when the country saw what performance we put in the semi-final, they thought this is terrible, this style of football that he was playing. But in the second year, he adapted it so much, you know, he brought in the counter-attack and the attacking side of the game as well, and, you know, it kind of just was a step forward, and it improved every year, like, so.
And you raised the subject now, so I'll ask you directly, what are your feelings going forward, to borrow a political term that's overused at this stage, but we've a new manager now in Rory Gallagher, you know, the team will probably change somewhat. How do you think we will be able, do you think we'll be able to continue the success that we saw under Jim McGuinness?
Well, I'm not too sure, but I feel that, you know, a lot of players have, well, might, and some have followed Jim McGuinness out the door, that this is their chance to do, you know, win two All-Irelands or win, like, as much as they could. But I don't know how he's going to, either he's going to stay with the same game plan or he's going to think of something new himself with his own past experience in management. But I'm not too sure how it's going to go. But.
Okay, we're going to take a break. 086-77-00-555. Text the show or call us on 074-91-25000. And you are very welcome back to the programme. Maeve McDade of Loretto Milford. Social media. I always find this an interesting conversation when it's discussed on radio, because invariably it's with people around my age talking about, oh, this and that and all that and the other. And it's not often we actually get the views of... younger people, so I'm glad you raised this one. What's your take on social media? Good, bad?
It has, like, it's like anything. It has its negatives and its positive impacts to it. But I think social media, you do have, like, the negatives. Like, you do have the bullying and all coming out of it. But I think sometimes they're basing it too much on the negatives and not enough on the positives. Say now, even as Michael was saying about the Ice Bucket Challenge, without social media, that wouldn't have been spread as well, and not as many people would have heard about it. And even they're even, you could even see now they've opened Bebo again, I think. Mm-hmm. I seen that yesterday. And so it's Bebo, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all of them, it's kind of linking people together a lot more. And there is, of course, there is the negatives to it, but...
Well, what do you use social media for? I'm not asking you to go into specifics, but, you know, if I use Twitter, for instance, a lot of it would be, for me, would be news-related or current affairs. I wouldn't really follow any celebrities or stuff, whatever. I'd get that information elsewhere. What do you use social media for primarily? Yeah. Is it socialising? Is it for...
Yeah, well, for socialising, a lot of people use Facebook for the socialising aspect of it, and then... Twitter would be to, like, follow, it would be following celebrities, and Instagram to see what they're doing and how they're spending their days. And it's, I think it's a good link up to have with celebrities. I know they're not, like, telling you, but you kind of feel as if you're connected with them, even whenever they're away in different countries touring or whatever.
And who are you following?
Anyone and everyone. Yeah, from, but who's your
One Direction? I was trying to see if you'd admit to that one.
Niall,
you look like you could be in One Direction.
Yeah.
Do you follow them on Twitter?
No, I don't know.
Of Instagram?
No, mainly for Twitter. It's just kind of a, you know, kind of a, an amusing part of it.
Yeah.
But a lot, I do follow celebrities as well. Like, I follow a lot of footballers just to see, you know, what sort of way, well, how they're spending their days and stuff like that. But like it, as Maeve was saying, you know, the negative and the positive side of it. We were with this Bia. We were at Bia down in Limerick a few weeks ago, and we got this talk from Donal Walsh's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the Donal Walsh campaign is all on Twitter, and he's got so much support and so much money and so much support basically around the project just on Twitter and people following it. And I think that's a brilliant use of it. You know, that's the way it should be used, and it's a big positive about how Twitter should be used properly. So,
Michael, are you a social media fan?
Of course I am. Yeah.
Which one?
I use kind of Facebook, obviously, to communicate with you know, different people. You know, I know people from down the country, so I wouldn't get much contact with them in everyday life. And then use Twitter for news stories and things like that, and finding out what kind of celebrities are up to and things like that. But it obviously, like everything, it has to be used wisely. Mm. You know, it can be taken in very different ways. Things like, you know, cyberbullying and kind of things like that.
Well, talk about cyberbullying. Does it happen? When we just say cyberbullying and we use this sort of all-inclusive term, is it people sending you messages that are insulting you or putting you down? I'm not saying you have experienced it. I'm on about from speaking to your friends. Maeve, do you want to come in there?
Well, cyberbullying can be anything from a nasty message to, like, an inappropriate picture of you you didn't want going up. It could, like, even something very small that the person putting it up mightn't think much about it, but then it's further down the line and they don't stop and keep going.
As a girl, do you feel more pressure to, you know, make sure your profile picture is pretty, or it's as pretty as friends?
Yeah,
or, I mean, is that a pressure or is it a pleasure? If you know what I'm not a pleasure, but, you know, is that just part of life, or do you find it's, oh... do I look as good as this person or that person?
Definitely. Or? Even, say, now on Instagram, if you take that for an example, and you're going to put up your picture, you're trying to find an effect and try getting it right, so you do.
And yet you all know what you look like in the flesh. Anyway. It's all a big lie, isn't it? I really genuinely think no one has arms long enough for a selfie.
Mm. That's why they have those sticks.
You need one of those. You know what? There's a limited group of people, but I don't know. There's not that many. So, yous would know people, though, that aren't using social media correctly. Would that be fair to say? You know, because parents, it's difficult for parents to speak to younger people. There's a generational gap there, and you don't want to sound like you're speaking to, you know.
Yeah,
but
you don't want to be interfering. Like, I'm assuming this is what parents be like. You don't want to interfere, be interfering too much. Like, you know, you don't want to be, like, searching, scrolling through their Facebook every day and questioning them and all. But I sometimes think parents would need to be doing it.
Because, you know, you three guys are clearly confident, well-spoken people, you know, and probably would be able to brush off a criticism or what have you. And we shouldn't forget that maybe it's those that maybe have self-awareness issues or self-confidence issues that a message to them would mean an awful lot more negatively than you guys who might be able to. I might be wrong, you know. I mean, I come across as confident, and yet I'm quite sensitive to that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe yous are too. But I think that's what we need to keep in mind. Right, we are in studio with Michael White from Carndonagh Community School, Niall Hannigan from Colostia Ali Letterkenny, and Maeve McDade from Loretto Milford in Junior Cert. Adults should learn from this. You know, when I say adults, you know, well, politicians, you aren't speaking over each other. Everyone can hear what you're saying, you know.
Can.
It's nice, isn't it? Oscar Pistorius trial, Niall, that's another thing, another sport and theme. It was one of those things where it almost become like a television programme. It reminded me back in the day of the O.J. Simpson trial when it was televised. I remember watching that like it was EastEnders or Coronation Street or something, because it unfolded every day and it had those dramatic twists. What's your take on that whole Oscar Pistorius trial?
I think it's just amazing that this guy is a massive role model for people. You know, he is partaking in Paralympics, but also in normal Olympics as well, with all the disabilities and you know, what he has, what's wrong with him. And just, you know, that you think that these role models and people that you look up to are kind of untouchable, but you know that normal things can happen to them, or they can get caught out in situations. And then also, if you compare them to the Donegal team as well, you know, this guy is you have no contact with him at all. You know, he's made it in life and all, but these Donegal players are walking about the streets with you, and you know, they're working in the same jobs as people you know and everything. But I just think that, you know, it's kind of bringing down that the role models are not untouchable, and that you know, things can happen to them as well.
So. And I mean, the biggest example of that probably in recent years was Lance Armstrong. I don't know if you've watched his documentary on Netflix, but what that guy did to mislead his fans. And this was a guy then that set up a cancer charity.
Yeah, exactly. After going through testicular cancer.
Yeah, exactly. He was getting full blood transfusions.
Dear God. Like, you know, on the side of the road.
Yeah, it was just absolutely shocking. The Oscar Pistorius, there's no winners in that one, is there? Because, you know, Oscar Pistorius' life is effectively ruined. You have his beautiful girlfriend who's now deceased, and then you have his fans who have been let down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because they've seen what he's done, and this is just a big shock to what has happened. So,
Greg, really enjoying the show. They are three great, young, well-spoken people for our youth. Also, Maeve is a county footballer herself. She's played her skill down there. Good on you, Greg, for bringing on the youth. County footballer.
Oh yeah, I played for Donegal as well.
But first and foremost, Termin, is that it?
Termin, yeah.
What age bracket are you playing for Donegal at this stage?
Under 16s. Yeah, we're just with the trials are on for this here season now, so they should be starting in January. So
no break. You'll be out running over.
Yeah, over after Christmas. I won't be eating too much turkey anyway.
What would you hope for 2015, guys? I'll start with you, Michael.
Loads of stuff, you know, the kind of the usual world peace and to world hunger.
This is not Miss World. I know. Would you take your crown off? That's what we all want. I know what you're saying.
Mainly big things. There might not seem to be an end to it, but the end fighting in the Middle East, especially you know, in the West Bank, and especially Syria, that's been going on for so long.
We're so lucky, aren't we? You know,
exactly that we're so removed.
And we
from
move.
All that.
We laugh and not laugh. Sorry, we complain about what we're going through and all the issues, and then you get people literally sitting in the houses. A bomb comes down. And
yeah.
a whole family's obliterated. From a youth council perspective, what would you like to achieve through 2015, or are you going to see how things progress and then formulate your notions from there?
Yeah, I think we have to. We kind of we're on this Donegal Youth Council for 2 years till 2016. So I think the first part of next year is going to be kind of formulating plans and things like that, seeing how we'll go about stuff. You know, the topics that we've chosen,
because you've a big act to follow, because there was the massive Sparks campaign and loads of other stuff. So there's a bit of pressure there. Niall, what about you? What's 2015? What would you like for next year?
Just to basically enjoy the youth council as well, like, and I'm just saying that, but like, it's something very different that I've never really been exposed to, or I don't think anyone really our age has. And you know, we were all you know, confident enough to go for it, to represent the school and to be part of the Donegal Youth Council, but also to you know, partake in projects, but also to build them up, and you know, to give a difference to young people in the county. So I'm looking forward to doing that as well.
Pat texts in, says Jim McGuinness has forced us to change a local saying. The year of the All Ireland, I suppose that was when you're referring to 1992, always meant something that happened in that year. Now thankfully we must specify which All Ireland it was, which is a good point indeed. Maeve, what about you? Obviously your football is going to play a big part of your year. You've got your you're doing your junior cert now. You take the exams in the summer, is it?
Yeah, at the end of the school year I have my exams then. So I suppose I'd like to do well in my exams, like all people. Mm. And
you'd like someone else to mark them and not your teacher.
Keep the normal junior cert anyway. And then, like the boys as well, from a Donegal Youth Council perspective, just over the 2 years to try and voice the young people, like what we've been elected by our peers to do is to voice their opinion. Mm. So to kind of let people know that it's okay to come to us, and we'll try and get your opinions heard, and we'll try and go to the local county council.
It's so important to, you know, because in the senior council, you have the councillors here and then you have the people. And there is a disconnect there, you know. I mean, it's not uniform right across it, but you have people that are listening now and they're going, council, it's like something else. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do, I presume, then, is make sure that the youth of the county feel that the youth council is their county, and that they are, you can go to your local youth councillor and it will be taken up the chain and make a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it was very clear when those representatives from each school at the agenda day, and they all had their chance to, you know, talk about what they wanted to talk about. So that's what we'll be able to carry on the new year. So
excellent. Well, I'm hoping to have yous in regularly over the course of the term of the council. So it's been fantastic having yous in. Really do appreciate it. What's this, Yvonne? I already read that out. You wasted your energy. That's Yvonne McFadden, the producer of the show. Okay, she ran in and I'd already read it out. There you go. Guys, thank you so much for coming in and giving up your Saturday mornings. It's been
thank
a pleasure.
You,
time went so quick.
Exactly.
Michael White, Carn Donegh Community School. Niall Hannigan, your second time in with us from Clash Alia in Letterkenny. And Maeve McDade, Loretto in Milford. Thank you so much, and best of luck with everything for 2015, and we'll
Thanks
chat to
much.
You in 2015.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Back with
Thank
more
you.
After this break. You are tuned to the Weekend Edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. So refreshing to have those youth councillor members in, and I hope you agree that they did a sterling job in looking back at what was important to them over 2014 and what may happen in the year ahead. Keep your calls, comments and requests coming through. They're more than welcome to 086 77 00 555. Or you can call us 07491 25000. Yvonne is waiting to take your calls there. Just to look at some of the stories making the news headlines today, seeing as we switch the format somewhat. The Irish Sun, Ryan Lovespit Agnew, a couple apart for 6 weeks. If you're interested in Ryan Tuberty's love life, then get the Sun. Mum, forgive me for killing 8 children. This is the awful story from Australia, which is covered in the front of the Irish Daily Star. The crazed mother accused of murdering 8 children in Australia was last night arrested over the killings. The Irish Daily Mirror, Strife of Ryan. They're also leading with Ryan Tuberty's love life on the front of the page. And if you're a Jennifer Lopez fan, pick up the Irish Daily Mirror as well. The Irish Daily Mail, my son lived because I kept his brain dead mother alive. This, of course, is an example stroke human interest angle towards this awful story that's happening at the moment. A husband who kept his pregnant wife alive artificially for 6 weeks so their baby could be born has said he has no regrets about the the decision. The Canadian case, which mirrors the Right to Die case currently before the High Court here, emerged at the start of this year when Dylan Benson's pregnant wife, Robin, suffered a fatal brain hemorrhage. The front of the Irish Times, Redmond decision opens way for more challenges to planning tribunal's findings. Camcorder claims Sinn Féin used him as a pawn. This is the ongoing row between Mr. Barrett and, I suppose, most specifically, Mary Lou McDonald. The Camcorder Sean Barrett accused Sinn Féin of using him as a pawn to deflect attention from their political difficulties, such as the Maria Cahill controversy. So when you have the Camcorder making comments like that, it's not necessarily peace talks, as it may complicate the situation further there. And finally, the Irish Independent, I just want to lay my poor little girl to rest. The father of a clinically dead pregnant woman being kept alive by doctors against her family's wishes has said they are enduring a horrific ordeal. And of course, the woman in question is being kept alive because she is 17 weeks pregnant. And there is, of course, ongoing conversation about our legislation as it relates to that. Okay, 086 7700 555 is the text line. Call us now, 74912500. Back with more in the Weekend Edition after this break. Young Irish emigrants aboard abroad who are campaigning for the right to vote in the upcoming 2018 presidential elections are organising a toast to their cause this Christmas. To discuss this and the issues in general, I'm joined on the programme now by David Burns, co-founder of We're Coming Back. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very, very well. Lovely to speak to you. We're Coming Back. Explain that to us.
Well, basically, the idea is that, a lot of studies show that young emigrants, they come back a lot. They come back for family events, and they come back once their visas are expired because a lot of them are on short-term visas to Australia and America. And it was also a kind of idea of, like, you know, bringing emigrants back into a kind of a national debate and airing their views on stuff like, say, for example, marriage equality and abortion, because a lot of these emigrants are quite young. And they've just left, you know.
And in recent comments, the president of the country sort of says that, you know, we do have a habit maybe of viewing diaspora and emigrants in general as sort of cash cows away from home. And he thinks perhaps we should look at a broader inclusion. That kind of tallies along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're looking for. Like Irish, young Irish emigrants abroad are Irish citizens, just like the rest of us. And I think that there's this misperception, you know, that there are all these people with green eyes in America or Australia, when in reality, they're, you know, a lot of them are people who have grown up and left recently and remain, you know, very actively involved. Like, there was this study by UCC, and it showed that 70% of Irish emigrants, you know, read the paper online, fly back home often for family occasions, and maintain contact, you know, through Skype and Facebook. So these people are, you know, heavily involved with our nation, you know.
Do you think, though, that it's fair that people who are no longer living in the country and perhaps may never return should have a say in laws that govern the people that have to live in the country?
Well, like, I think that you kind of have to look at the facts, you know what I mean? In the 1980s, we have a lot of people who left. And then in the 1990s, they were like the majority demographic that came back into the country. Like, in terms of us setting the laws, that's not what this campaign is about. It's really about giving emigrants a directly elected representative.
Okay. You
know? Like, so, and there's ways of doing it so that it doesn't interfere with the autonomy of the resident population. You know what I mean? Like, that, it exists in France and in Italy and elsewhere, that there's a limited constituency.
But that would be that person elected from that constituency would then be a voice for those who have emigrated.
Yes, exactly, and not a voice that, you know, could potentially govern the country, but a voice, a real kind of credible representation of those people's views.
So, what has the reaction been to the "We're Going Coming Back" campaign so far?
Oh, it's really, really been quite positive. I mean, we've been in the press quite a lot this year. We've met with Jimmy Dinahan on more than, like, you know, on several occasions over the summer, And we've kind of had a great response from the young immigrants themselves, especially, you know, coming up to the marriage equality referendum, mm-hmm. where a lot of these people have, like, quite strong views and feel that this is a generational issue and that they're being debarred of, like, any kind of way of representing how they feel about something, you know, that they feel quite strongly about.
And finally, the Christmas weekend, 20 to the 22nd of December, what's being organised?
So the idea is a toast for a vote. It's to put faces to the numbers, because a lot of people just quote numbers when it comes to immigrants. So we're asking everyone to raise their glass for Irish, you know, to the idea of Irish citizens abroad being included in the democratic process, and use the hashtag toast for a vote with a photo of your toast.